All right. Looks like it's a couple minutes after. So we're going to go ahead and get started. Normally it would be Dwayne here tonight, but Dwayne had surgery, so he couldn't do it. So he asked Thomas to do it, who got he had sickness in his family today. So it was me or Daniel, and Daniel has sickness in his family. So you're getting third or fourth string here. I don't know which one it is. So I literally learned this morning, and I had about an hour after work to prepare and in between haircuts as I was barbering. So as much contribution as I can get from you, I would really appreciate it. Let's go together to God in prayer. Father, we are so grateful for this opportunity to gather here, even in limited number. We're grateful for the chance, the opportunity to be able to put the world behind us and to just study on your word. We pray that tonight we would be able to recognize the wisdom that's contained inside of it, that we'd be able to understand that it gives us peace even when there's craziness in the world around us. Father, we just are so grateful that we can have that peace. We pray that we could always just lay a hold of it and come to you and let everything go. Father, we pray that the people that aren't here tonight that would normally be here, that you would help them in whatever they're going through, the sickness. We pray for that to pass. And we pray that they're comfortable and safe at home, and that maybe they were even able to tune in tonight. Father, we pray for this church and all of the members here. We pray for its growth spiritually and in numerically. But Father, we understand that it's your will and that you do all of the growth. Father, help us to plant the seed and willing and open hearts. Forgive us when we fall short, when we put our own wills in front of yours. It's through Jesus that we pray. And amen. Okay, so we started out, Dwayne was going to do lesson one, and we ended up having a weather day there, so he tried to do lesson one and two as much as he could, and he got almost all the way through lesson two. So we're going to end up at the end of Proverbs 2, if you want to open up there. I don't know if you still have the sheet for it. I'm breaking down this year, and I'm going to get bifocals. And maybe a hearing aid. I don't know. It's just all going downhill. It's 50. All right. Lesson two was a storehouse, the storehouse for wisdom, a good and honest heart. And we were on the last slide, but I'm going to read through Proverbs 2 first, just so we can have a refresher. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you understand fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Then you understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech who forsake the paths of righteous uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death, and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep the paths of the righteous, for the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. So Dwayne asked the question, identify and discuss five things required in order to obtain wisdom. Anyone get that question finished? If not, I'll give you his answers.
Because I thought they were just listed at like beginning verse 2 through 5.
It is.
You're attentive.
He has receive and value the commands in verse 1. Listen and apply wisdom and understanding. Diligently seek to make proper decisions. To search for truth above all else in verse 4, and then we will receive understanding and knowledge in verse 5. Anyone else have anything else they wanted to add to that? Because I'm going to have to alternate between my glasses. It's definitely going to be bifocals this year.
Proverbs like this, it just reminds you of like core values, you know, for Christian living. You know, if we haven't studied it for a while, we forget about how simple it is and how straightforward it's laid out in the book of Proverbs there, you know. But I even noticed that even in the next chapter, the same, it just keeps getting deeper and deeper and the layers just keep unfolding, but it's all building on the core values that we need to have in our life.
The author, that definitely expounds upon that. This section is the storehouse for wisdom, which is a good and honest heart. All of those things tell you how to lay hold of that.
Sometimes we value the most, you know, like verse 2, treasure up my commandments with you. That's the retaining of information, I think. And that's just the first step. To know a lot isn't to have wisdom. There's those other things that follow. Sometimes kids in school, you know, get to learn a little bit of algebra and they say, well, this is stupid. What can I do with A squared plus B squared? You know, and it isn't until you get way further down the line that you can use that, put that into use. But you can't do it without having learned it.
Even more so than like worldly wisdom, we may never use A squared plus B squared. As a barber, I think I have to count up to six. That's how many yards count.
Yeah. But farmers will use A squared plus B squared just to measure out a crop, you know.
Yeah.
But we don't know that when we're just taking algebra. Right. A lot of things that we learn out of the Bible, when we treasure up commandments, there's a lot of follow up on that. The next four steps.
And everything in here is worthwhile. It's not like algebra. I mean, algebra may be useful in many vocations, but everything in here is available to all of us.
Understanding and humility and knowing that you may not have gone through it before, but maybe someone has gone through it before. Or maybe knowing that God knows all, because it talks about creation and how we are part of His Word in creation. And like how, because we were created in the Word and it's bound on us, that we don't necessarily have to go through all these things to have the experience of these things that are wrong. And that's the ability of knowing what's right before we make the wrong, because of what actually was already predestined, and what we know by God's word.
Some things we have to learn. learn the hard way, but we don't have to learn everything the hard way. If we listen to God, then we walk that straight path. It's good thoughts. How can we prevent being led down the road with the unrighteous? John?
Well, wisdom guards our hearts. So if we've done what the first part of this question asked, we will be fortified to follow through and avoid the evil.
Dwayne has right here, and I'll be honest, I didn't look at lesson two because I went straight into lesson three. He sent me his answers. I was so stressed for time. I'm reading it with you. I'm just going to be honest right now. Dwayne has a good summary right here, and it says, "Lord gives wisdom." And it's what John said. We hear and understand the wisdom. That wisdom protects our path. It says in verse 6, "For the Lord gives wisdom; from His mouth come knowledge and understanding." We'll just go ahead and down through 9. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. Who's that? The people who want to follow it. He is a shield of those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Then you understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. Can anyone define moral courage?
That seems like that's the definition for virtue. But it's the courage that makes it, even when you're scared or intimidated, to go ahead and follow through with what's right.
It's really hard when you feel like the answer is something else, like a lie. Let's say, for instance, you have this moral dilemma at work, and you know that if you just said something different, you could avoid the whole thing altogether. You know, that's what moral courage is to just go ahead and follow God's word, regardless of the outcome, knowing that He's going to protect you and keep a path for justice for you. The verses 10 and 11. The wisdom of applying God's teaching into your heart will give you knowledge, discretion, and something that eludes a lot of people nowadays in this world is integrity. The easy path is not the way that we're told to take. We're supposed to stand up, and that's moral courage. Anyone else have anything they want to add to that? Okay, we made it through two. We'll make it through three tonight. Three is the benefit of wisdom, character, confidence, and contentment. I'm going to break this up, if you don't mind, and I want three volunteers to read. First one will read Proverbs 3, 1 through 10.
For length of days and long life and peace shall add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Where'd you say go to?
1 through 10.
Okay. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor thy Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thy increase. So shall thy arms be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine.
I need someone to read 11 through 18. Mary Beth.
Son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom, and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. I'm sorry, where am I going?
18.
Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed.
Someone finish out 19 through 26.
By wisdom, God made the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps broke open and the clouds dropped down on the deep. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. And they will be light for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid when you lie down. Your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught.
Okay.
One of the questions in the handout was discuss some benefits you receive by making application of wisdom in your life. So, when I first became a Christian, I mean, I was a Christian for, I don't know, 3 months, and I lost my job. The job I had was nights, weekends, some travel. It was just really weird schedule. But I thought, well, I'm viewing everything through this lens that I have now, this Christian lens. What do I want to do with the rest of my life? Because I just lost my job. I could have continued on in that. And conventional wisdom says this is what you've done all of your life. I made pretty good money at it. But they'd asked me to move a couple times, and I just didn't want to move. And I thought, well, if I'm really going to do this Christian thing, and this is so elementary thinking at the time, let's try to do it this way. So I thought, well, I want Sundays off, and I want to watch my kids grow up. So that was, man, let's see, 2005? So we're looking at 2006. Elizabeth was one and Jenny was four. I got to watch my kids grow up and I've been here on Sundays. So the wisdom that God says kind of went counter to what I was thinking at the time as far as, you know, well, that's a career. I'm going to have to start all over again. And that's 16 years ago, so that still puts me at 34 years old and I'm making a whole new career change. But I totally jumped all in. And it was the best decision I've ever made because I wanted to be able to have, you know, think about all of the knowledge that I would have missed out if I were working Sundays or all the times that I would have been able to miss out on my kids and raising the kids and trying to, you know, put godly ways in front of them. That's one way that it worked out for me. Does anyone else want to share? So it doesn't have to be that personal. The thing is that a lot of times what we do is we sit there and look things through this lens of, you know, what is going to make us the most money or what is this going to do with the worldly ways. It's not always the right way. Did you have something you wanted to add, Michelle? I'm done.
I do have a few. He told me I had to share a couple. One was praying about a situation, a hard situation you know is coming up, but it came months in advance. And it's this constant prayer that God, you know, commands us to do, to prepare so that you do have the confidence and clarity later. And then another one was listening to older women before I got married, which did set a lot of healthy boundaries being a stepmom. That's a really good high application 14, 15 years later that paid off as far as spending time and listening to people that lived things before I did.
And that advice at the beginning, I did not agree with. Because I wanted more help. I wanted more help from her on another stage that she's like, no, that, I'm out. That's not me. I've been around Christian women that have advised me that this is where I need to do. You've got to take care of this part. I'm stepping back and letting you do that. It was good advice. But again, I was a new Christian, and I thought I knew everything. But there were people with more wisdom than me that were talking to Michelle that have been through it, and were also viewing it through a godly lens. What is the result of rejecting God's instruction? You guys just want me to share all my personal life tonight. Okay, well, bad things happen, obviously. It's an easy answer. This is I'll lob this one up there for you. Bad things happen when we don't listen to him, and eventually, what happens? He leaves us to our own devices. He could turn away from us. And another thing is we may miss out on blessings. If you want, please turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. This is one that a lot of you already know. Naaman. Okay, what did Naaman think? Let's read real quick here. 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 10 through 14. Naaman was a leper, right? And he wanted to get healed. He'd heard about this God of Israel, right? We'll pick up in verse 10. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman was angry and went away, saying, "Behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar and the rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? Could I wash in them and be clean?" So he turned away in rage, but his servants came near and said to him, "My father, it is a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? He has actually said to you, wash and be clean." So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Do we do that sometimes? Do we take our own wisdom and think it's a little bit better, or modify God's just a little bit? We can totally do that. So we can lose out on potential blessings. We can, what's the author say here? Says that if we trust in the Lord, he will direct and bless our life. Proverbs 3, 1 through 10, it says if we pay attention to him, it can affect our physical health. A lifestyle that's conducive to healthy living, like not drinking or smoking or doing things that might harm your body long term. It could give us mental strength, which adds to self-esteem and peace of mind and resulting from a clear conscience. What happens when you do the right thing? You don't have to worry about something that you did that was wrong. It gives you that strength and courage and that confidence to be able to continue on. Even if other people are opposing you, you know you're on the right side. So it can give you that mental strength. And the material blessing, not always, but if you manage your household in a godly way and do the things you're supposed to be doing there, then those things can also come in your way. It says the proper attitude towards possessions, which enables you to use your resources wisely. So those things God has directions on. He has clear direction on the way that we're supposed to help each other out too.
you're trying to basically like convince somebody, or you know, who used to go to church, they don't go anymore. They have all these reasons why they don't. They have their own logic of why they don't, and it's like, it's stuff was like, it's stuff that you're like, what, don't you believe in the scriptures anymore? Like, it's all about, you know, the worldly things is why they don't go. Basically taking their focus off God, you know. It's, I don't know, I guess my question is, how do you try to convince, or do you just keep on trying, or do you, like, let it go, or?
So, that's not an easy answer, because everybody's different, right? But the catch-all is you keep trying to share God's wisdom. Keep trying to share that over and over and over again, and you find opportunities to show that in your life as well. Most of the people in here know that either my parents were baptized or were Christians before I did. Thankfully, both of them were. And a lot of that was just continually trying to show them my life and how it's benefited me and my clear conscience and the easy path that I was taking. Also, I was sharing with them. Now, both of my parents got baptized. That was not me. That was God, because there was no way that was going to happen with just me.
And every time I talk to them, my daughter talks to them, you know, they're like, oh, we'll go one day, we'll go one day. One day turns in the next day. And I'm like, we just had a sermon, like, and I just lost my auntie yesterday. Time is short, we just had a sermon. As I was trying to convey to them, one day is not, we're not going to have that time, you know, to keep saying, you know, that maybe next week.
So,
try to realize that the pressure is not on you. It's on them. And sometimes God has a way of working in ways that you're not expecting. And they may have to encounter that really hard time where they realize that they do need Him. That's the answer I'd give you, you know, in a classroom setting. I'd be glad to talk to you more later. Okay. Yeah. What do we learn in verse 3 about the nature of wisdom? I'll read that again. Kindness and truth? Yeah.
Maintain a value in God's eyes as far as following after His scripture.
Yeah.
And that God's wisdom is superior to our own. That's your truth right there. Sometimes we want to make up our own, but that says it right there. Explain how we bind God's commands around our neck and write them on the tablets of our heart. Mary Beth?
In His Word, the wisdom is there. The knowledge is there. He's laid it all out. But we have to pick it up and put it into ourselves. So there's the command. Bind it around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. It's not going to magically seep in through your pores. You have to spend a little bit of time every day reading.
I have that, but I also have you put Him everywhere in your home. Again, when I first became a Christian, it amazed me. She had, Michelle, had things, just like little clippings of verses just in her. I'm not bragging on my wife. It's just one of those things that kind of, on me, it was just kind of like, why do you have clippings, like little typier, little things in her mirror, just so that when she'd go to the bathroom in the morning, she'd look in the mirror, she'd see something. And they were all through our house. I'm thinking, is this the way our house is going to look? You know? I'm kind of ashamed of where I was, but I realized how silly that was then, you know? These little things in our house that just kind of are always there. Surround yourself with godly people. What happens when you spend time with another Christian? Eventually, you talk about Christian things or godly things. And then the other one I have is making a habit of talking to him. What happens when we talk to him? I get a peace, and I want to hear more about what he has to say. And I do it through the whole day, too. I talk to him through the day. And it can be as simple as if I'm talking to somebody else and they tell me about something that's going on and I say, I'll pray for you. 5 minutes later, I'm saying a prayer. I'll try to do it more later, but it's just a quick, you know, please help this person, you know, show your light, you know, your glory, that kind of a thing. It's spending your whole day. Does God like memorials? God loves memorials. Do you guys, in Exodus 12, 14, Moses made an altar of stones, right, to commemorate God's covenant with Israel. They had Passover. They celebrated Passover. Do we have any memorials today? Can anyone think of anything that we do as Christians?
First day of the week, we have.
Yeah. Yeah. Why do we do that? Because he wants us to remember those important things. He wants us to surround our lives around them. We meet every first day of the week. We do the supper every first day of the week. God likes memorials, and that's what it is. That's what it means to me when we bind God's commands around our neck and write them on the tablets of our heart. Sometimes it would be easier to kind of skip a Sunday, right? But it's a memorial. It's a way to remember the things that God's told us. We do this a lot. We come up and we sing those songs. That's something we do regularly. We come up, we do Bible studies on Wednesday. It's not because you want to come hear me speak. It's because you want to learn about what God said. We do all of these things because God told us to. They're memorials. Because he wants us to write them on our hearts. Anyone else have anything?
Bring up something. The writer in this lesson, he brings out this chapter is kind of a chapter of contrast, and I think if we don't bring that out, we miss it, because he lays out what we're supposed to be like the verse 5 through 7. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So he's laying out what we're supposed to do, but then the flip side of that, you go a few verses later, he shows you what happens to people that don't do that and how they're led astray and what could happen to us. So it's a, you know, chapter of contrast. Do this, don't do this, you know, you'll fall in the way. And I think it's like Sarah said, you know, we can learn from listening and hearing what he says, or we can learn a lesson a rough way. And sometimes we see both examples throughout the Bible. You know, we see people who listen and learn, or we see somebody like the prodigal son who had to learn the hard way. And it's better to listen and learn.
I'm going to have to find it. But, and it doesn't always lead to godly wisdom. Some people get stuck in that loop where they think, okay, well, that's my fault, or, you know, here's what I'm going to do differently, but they don't always go to God's word. You're right. Verse 2 says we have a long life. We consider the things we hope to get out of life. I want to kind of go through this. I kind of skipped through the... So I was given two different PowerPoints. So I didn't go off of this one. I kind of went off of the other one. favor and high esteem, those are things we hope to get out of life. Health and strength, verse 8. Material blessings, in verse 10 it says, and your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats be bursting with wine. These are things that God's telling us that we can have if we follow His wisdom. Possibly. I guess I do have a barn. I don't have any vats bursting with wine, but these are things that He's told us that if we follow Him, could be ours. Outside of those, could we have those things without following God's word? Right. And could we be missing some of these things, even though we follow God? Yeah, we could. These are things that are guidelines for living our life, and mostly what we get from it is that peace. I didn't have to rob anybody for the things that I have. And I know that if I lost it all tomorrow, I'd still have the most important thing. And that's my God, which promises a greater reward in heaven. Kevin?
The second point, favor and high esteem from verse 4, you know, you'll find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. I mean, these proverbs are the right way of life. Not just, I mean, they're profitable for everyone, everywhere. And it's not like that there are obstacles everywhere out in the world and they only benefit us here in the church. Because most of the obstacles come in personal relationships. People who want to be deceitful. But society, you know, all the groups that we could be part of, they depend on people being honest and being able to count on them. And that's how we end up in good favor with God and with man. Because it's just good. These are good instructions for everybody, everywhere, especially for Christians.
It's funny how even the non-Christian world views these qualities as good, but don't always follow them.
I had that question about God and what you just answered a question I had. You didn't even know.
There's a list of things that everybody wants those things. God gives us a guideline that we could attain some of them. At the very one, though, the last one, though, we can all attain that one for sure, which is eternal life. I have next week's study, which was going to be mine anyways. It's in the back. The only thing that's not done on it is I did not put a date on it. It's stapled because I had a couple of my own questions. It's in the foyer area on the top shelf. I encourage you to pick it up. I appreciate your patience, understanding, and your participation.